stand by. Good day and welcome to today's IBM Tivoli Talk, Learn What is New in Tivoli NetCool Service Quality Manager 4.1 conference call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Todd Wood. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Welcome, everyone. Thank you for joining us today to learn what is new with the new release of Tivoli NetCool Service Quality Manager. Just a couple things before we get started, and I turn this over to our speakers. If you do not have a copy of the presentation, I am on same time. Send me a quick same time, and I will get the presentation sent out to you. My same time ID is Todd Wood, that's T-O-D-W-O-O-D, at us.ibm.com. With that, I am pleased to introduce Anthony Behem and Dave Mohaly, who are going to take us through what is new in the Tivoli NetCool Service Quality Manager. And I believe Anthony is going to start us off. Anthony?
Thanks, Todd, and welcome, everybody. And you passed the pronunciation test with flying colors, Todd. Thank you. Let me, without further ado, get straight into this presentation. We're going to talk today about Tivoli NetCool Service Quality Manager 4.1. TNS QM 4.1 is part of the Service Quality Management Solution, which is described at a high level on slide 2. We're not going to get into too much detail on this today, but just for the purposes of overview, there are three main solutions in here. There's real-time service status monitoring, which is largely based on the Tivoli Business Service Management Solution, TBSM. There is the SLA and Service Performance Management Solution, which is the core of TNSQM, which is what is going to be the subject of our discussion today. And then there is also Customer Experience Manager, which strongly leverages the TNSQM core functionality and will be the subject of another Tivoli talk that is currently scheduled, I believe, for the end of January 2008. So today, as I say, we're going to be focusing specifically on the SLA and Service Performance Management features within Tivoli NetCool Service Quality Manager. On slide 3, if we look at this in just a little bit of detail in terms of the business value and what the core functions are, from the bottom left and going clockwise, the first thing that we look at is that it identifies service degradations with the highest business impact. So that is two pieces there. First of all, the identification of service degradation involves the representation of service quality metrics and through the dashboards to various service managers. And the highest business impact speaks to the prioritization capability that allows service providers to understand which service degradations are most demanding of attention in terms of the impact on the business as opposed to perhaps on the network, for example. The second piece there is that it provides a historical and predictive view of service quality. So by retaining qualitative information about service delivery and how well services have been performing historically, it allows us to understand how well we're progressing, how well various programs are impacting upon the quality of service delivered. And it also allows us to predict when and where issues are likely to occur, so to predict busy hours and so forth. The third area is in the management of service level agreements. Both for three major parties, the first being external, which of course is where we deliver service level agreements to enterprise customers, and internal when we talk about how we manage services internally, how we manage goals for service quality delivery internally, and then third party SLAs, particularly around next generation services and applications where service providers are increasingly reliant on third parties to deliver the payload for new services. The automated root cause analysis of service performance problems is an important feature as well. The service modeling capability allows us to build a comprehensive view of the service delivery hierarchy and the various components that are required for delivering service. What this allows us to do is to aggregate up to give us a top-level score in terms of how well a service is performing, but it also allows us to drill back down into it. So if we've got substandard performance at any level, we can drill through the various components of the service model and understand what component of the model is actually causing the disruption and then allocate resources to resolve accordingly. SnemaLabs feature here is it measures service quality experience by specific enterprises and subscriber demographics. So we can look at how enterprises are experiencing the network, these large customers that are specifically dealt with and often managed using service level agreements, using external service level agreements. If we move to slide 4, this is a very high-level SQMS reference architecture that shows, generally speaking, where the where the functionality sits. So while this is perhaps a little daunting at first look, basically what we're looking at is the various sources of data at the bottom of this slide, the trouble tickets, faults, network and application discovery tools, performance management and mediation, and mediated data. All of these things combine to deliver various types of information that are useful at one level or another in building an understanding of what service quality management is. All of that then is presented in various different ways to the different components of the SQM solution. And in particular, the one we're considering today within the service quality management dashboard is that middle one, the service level agreement and service performance management solution. So who are we speaking to? On slide 5, we look at the different audiences that we're talking to. In the first instance, we're looking at service managers who are asking questions, how are my services doing against design quality objectives? So are they performing as expected, as forecast? For example, how do I analyze my service delivery trends by customer and in aggregate? Where do I think the service is going to go next? Are there things that we need to do in the network in order to facilitate the growth of my service? These kind of questions can begin to be answered by this infrastructure. And what service levels are my internal and external suppliers delivering to me? So we can build service level agreements that help to manage those somewhat intangible inputs into service delivery. Those third parties whom perhaps we don't have any control over, we can begin at least to measure the level of quality that's being delivered into my service. So that we can have an overall model of service quality. Individual account managers are asking about how customers, how we can build trust in customers, particularly in regard to mission-critical services. How can we demonstrate to those customers that are really important to us, these high-level enterprise customers, that we're meeting our commitments, that we're not just saying that we're going to deliver quality, but we're delivering measurable goals here. How can I make sure I know when my customer has problems rather than them telling me? How can we be proactive in how we manage the customer? If we see that we've got a significant service outage that is going to impact on my customer's ability to deliver on his or her business, then you know, we need to be managing that in a proactive way. And the third area in terms of operations and operations management, simple questions like, am I meeting my commitments? I've committed to the business that a certain level of quality is going to be delivered. Can we commit in a way that is measurable, and do we have the infrastructure then to deliver on that measurement? How do we get to the root cause of service quality problems quickly and cost effectively? We've already talked a little bit about drill down. And then how can we predict and prevent service quality problems before they cost me time and money? So when degradations occur, can we get to them quickly and effectively? So that's sort of, at a high level, the value proposition and the architecture within which this solution is couched. For the remainder of this presentation, Dave Mulhaly is going to take us through some of the features that are in the release 4.1 of Tivoli Netcool Service Quality Manager. Dave, are you there?
Yep.
All right.
Thanks, Anthony.
Over to you.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay, so as Anthony mentioned, the next portion of the presentation, or the bulk of the presentation remaining, is focusing in on the specific features that are being delivered as a part of the TNSQM 4.1 release, which is scheduled for the end of 2007. So at a high level, to walk through the main feature subsets, we've got basically leveraging the current TNSQM product, which has been on the market for a number of years and grown quite dramatically over the last number of years. We're basically pushing a number of key areas within this release, the first one being in the area of visual modeling capabilities. So there's a visual service model application. What it enables the users to do, and we'll drill into this in quite a bit of detail, but at a high level, essentially it has two components. First component allows users within a service provider, okay, to basically come along and model a service. So you can model a service through a graphically driven interface that allows you to build up how a service should be modeled. So that service model then can be used for basically managing services. So you've got a modeling component which will allow a service model designer to basically break a service down into the key kind of building blocks, okay, that delivers the actual service, and then basically build that up into a hierarchical model of the service. Using the visual service model, then the users can come along and monitor services based off of that visual structure, and we'll see examples of that as we go through the deck. Next component is the SLA web view. SLA web view, as Anthony touched on as a part of the introduction, the product already has quite extensive SLA monitoring and management capabilities. So what we've done with this feature is we're essentially introducing a web-based monitoring application that's intended to enable kind of larger volumes of users to access the actual SLA and service views in a read-only web interface. So this basically removes the need for any client installation, and then you can control exactly which users get access to what within a web interface. Okay. Next one is the enhanced RCA. During the introduction, Anthony touched on one of the capabilities that is used by operational type users that are basically using the drill down root cause analysis functionality within the product. So with this feature, what we've done is basically we have gone and added quite a lot of automation to that process. Okay, so we've put in an analytical layer that will basically allow users to run a diagnose function and basically let the tool run down through all of the possible causes for a particular service degradation and rank them within the UI for the users. So we'll see examples of this also. Next one is the enhanced multidimensional key quality indicators. Within TNSQM, basically the metrics that we use for monitoring the delivered service qualities are what we refer to as key quality indicators. These key quality indicators, for example, if we look at a voice call, it could be the number of successful voice calls or the success rate for making mobile originated calls. That could represent a key quality indicator for a voice service. So what the dimension aspect of it is that you would want a KQI produced on 1-to-n dimensions. So for example, you could have the number of the voice success rate computed for an enterprise customer, produced per trunk group, per equipment vendor. So whatever the dimensions are within the tool, what we've done with this feature is basically we have expanded the multidimensional capabilities of the SQM engine. Next feature is adaptive thresholding. Adaptive thresholding is essentially thresholding at the SLA monitoring layer that will basically, the thresholding can be based off of historical values of your violation trends. So as your threshold, when you initiate adaptive thresholding on a particular key quality indicator that you're monitoring, you can set it up so that it can start to basically adjust based on historical performance. So essentially what happens is that over a long period, depending on how you've configured it, but over, for example, a number of weeks, a number of months, your thresholds will basically modify and tune themselves to basically be very close to your actual kind of typical performance of a service. Okay, so this allows automated adjustment of the thresholds for your services that are being monitored internally, and this, from an operational perspective, allows people to focus on what providers will refer to as kind of normal activity on a service. Okay. Event forwarding to Omnibus. This is one of the integration points within the Tivoli product set. As TNSQM is one of the products within the Tivoli Netcool portfolio, we are basically introducing a productized integration to the Omnibus for forwarding service degradations to your Omnibus event management system. Okay, so moving on to slide 8, we start to focus in on the visual service modeling. So looking at the first feature, so the visual service modeling, as I referred to, has essentially two main components. One of the components focuses on the actual modeling of a service. So the modeling of a service, within this product, we have introduced a graphical visual modeling designer tool that allows a user to basically start creating new service models, leveraging existing service elements and service models. So we'll see examples of that. Second component then is any model that you've built using the visual service model. You can then start to monitor your services and SLAs using this visual structure that you've created. And that has two sub-components. You can focus in on a specific service or a customer SLA, for example. You've also what's referred to as a global monitoring view that allows you within a kind of an operational environment to summarize the amount of the different services that are associated with each, the different SLAs that are associated with each of your service offerings. So at a high level, this allows you to have a dashboard type view in an operational environment, so you can see exactly which SLAs are impacted for any specific service degradation. Jumping on to slide 9. So getting into the visual service modeling overview a little bit more. So as I mentioned, you've got the graphical service modeling UI, which enables the user to basically leverage any installed service model library that they will have. You can basically create new service models via drag and drop onto a service model design canvas. And this allows the user to start building up quite complex service models. Okay? So as your designers over time start to create these complex service models, they can obviously purchase these service models directly from IBM. They can go and create them themselves. Okay? Or they can do a combination of both, where they would buy productized service solutions from IBM and then leverage those for building other service models themselves over time. So, as I say, the intention of this, from based on numerous different customer engagements, is to make the visual modeling very easy to do. So allow users to drag a complex service model, drop it onto the canvas, and then the new service model can inherit everything from the source service model. The monitoring side of it then basically allows a user to visually monitor in near real time the status of the different service element components of the service or SLA that you're monitoring. And the global monitoring view, as I mentioned, is a summary view based off of associating number of SLAs which are different service offerings. Jumping on to slide 10, just walks through some of those benefits at a high level, some of which I've touched on already. So basically, the key driver behind the visual modeler is enabling users to visually model services. Reason being, with working with a number of large carriers, we found that this visual-based modeling is basically the most intuitive method for modeling. It allows users to basically leverage what models they have very easily, and it allows them to basically start to create and copy either a whole service model or subsets of a service model. So it means the actual modeling process becomes a lot shorter, it's a lot more cost effective. So by leveraging previously built components, it means you can go and model new service offerings quite quickly. Okay? So by basically having all of your service models and service components housed within a service model library, this is very much a standards-based approach, which allows users to basically easily leverage the service models and service elements within the library. Okay, and then when anything that's built within the modeler can easily be used from a monitoring perspective within the monitoring side of the application. So again, two components, the modeling side to build the actual service models themselves, and you can build quite complex service models in a short time. And then there's the monitoring component. So the monitoring component allows you to basically focus in and visually see the hierarchy for a specific service or SLA. The global monitoring view then focuses in on, at a high level, a summary type view of the actual service quality of your different monitored services, and easily you can see the association of which SLA is associated with each service and which ones are having a problem. So this very much helps drive the priority for your operational staff to focus in on the service problems and service degradations that are having the biggest impact on your end business. Okay? Jumping on to slide 11, we see an example of the visual service model designer application. And here, okay, on the, if you put the slides into build mode, you'll see the animation. So on the left-hand side of the screen, the left-hand Explorer type view that focuses in on the actual service model library. This can be configured by the user so that the user can configure the service model library to reflect what their business, what the provider's business needs and their approach towards the actual kind of categorization of service offerings and service models. So down on the bottom left of the screen, you see basically the service element categories. Within here, your designers can basically build up what we refer to as global service elements. These global service elements could, for example, be, you could have a service element that reflects the actual wireless access for a mobile network. You could have a service element that represents the SMSC, for example, for your SMS service. So any sub-elements of an overall service delivery can be prepackaged and broken down into what we refer to as service elements. These service elements then basically represent, so any of the icons that you see on the right-hand side of the screen, okay, they are basically what we call, each of those icons represents a service element. So a service element represents the kind of the visual granularity of what you see within your service model design. So on the right-hand side here, we see an example, quite a simple example of a GPRS bearer service model. It focuses in on the radio access network, which is the RAN, covering down into your kind of radio network, your cell areas. And over on the right-hand side, you see, it, again, quite a simple approach to your core network broken down by your different GPRS interfaces. Obviously, this is all totally driven by your designer. Okay. So, moving on to the next slide. Moving on to slide 12. Okay. Here we see an example of we want to go and create a new. So this is an example of leveraging existing service models. So here we see that there's an example of we're taking an old service model or a previously installed service model for the GPRS bearer, and basically we're going to go and create a new service model that is going to be focusing in on the BlackBerry email service. So we will basically just, that whole GPRS service model can be taken and inherited into this new service, which is what we've got on our canvas. Okay. So then, moving on to slide 13, you see an example of taking service elements that are basically reflective of the BlackBerry email infrastructure. So we're taking a number of different sources, we're dragging and dropping them from our service element a portion of the library. Okay. If they don't exist, users can create them quite easily by a wizard-driven system. So once they're dragged over, you can start to basically, on slide 14, you see an example of you continue selecting your service elements and basically build up what is, in this case, your BlackBerry service model. And this BlackBerry service model, we see on the right-hand side of it is the previous GPRS service model that we were referring to, and then on the left-hand side, it's the elements that are focusing in specifically on BlackBerry. So quite easily here, we've built quite a complex service model involving lots of different metrics that allow us visibility to the actual GPRS bearer service. So anybody who's trying to access BlackBerry email over GPRS, they're going to basically be reflective of the right-hand side of this model, so coming in over your GPRS bearer. And then the left-hand side of the model is focusing in on more of the application servers, specifically to do with your actual RIM BlackBerry Enterprise servers. This is quite a straightforward example of leveraging existing components. It's completely visually driven, so users can basically start to create models and add to existing models to build up quite an extensive hierarchy pretty quickly. So moving on to slide 15, so the previous slide focused in on the modeling capabilities. On slide 15, we see an example of, here we are basically after creating a BlackBerry email service. If you put it in presentation mode, you'll see that in the enterprise, in the external panel at the back of the screen, you see we've got a BlackBerry SLA for FedEx. And that BlackBerry SLA for FedEx is basically an instance of the model that we've created. So here we can see exactly how the service, the BlackBerry service, is doing based on the visual construction that we constructed with our BlackBerry service model. So what this means is creating any new BlackBerry SLAs can be done very, very quickly. We will just basically say for any SLA we want to use, the source will be, for the SLA will be our service model. That will inherit all of the metrics and the visual kind of construction of the service model that has been designed within the visual service model. Moving on to slide 16. Okay, slide 16. What we have done is basically within slide 16, talking to a lot of service providers, operational type users, they very much have a need for information packaged in a very summarized way. So by launching the services button at the top of the monitoring view, so within the SLA monitor, the SLA monitor is an application that's within the current release of the product, and this is being enhanced by allowing you to launch this services view. And the services view will allow you to basically focus in on, at a high level, how are all my services doing, okay? And then basically, for each service offering, so in this example here on slide 16, we see that we have two services being monitored by the system. It's BlackBerry and Voice over IP, okay? And for each of the two services, we have two customer SLAs. So two customer SLAs, FedEx and HSBC Bank, and then for Amex and BMW for the VoIP service. So this at a high level, and here we only see a couple of SLAs for each service offering, but the view will scale quite nicely to allow users to focus in on exactly which SLAs are causing problems on each of your different service offerings. So this will help your operational users to basically focus in on, at a very high level, which services are having problems, which customers are impacted, and exactly which way they should start to prioritize the workload for each of the different SLAs. Okay, so that brings us to the end of the monitoring feature. And moving on to the SLA web view, on slide 18, the SLA web view is basically leveraging a lot of the functionality that we've had previously within what's referred to as a TIC client. So a TNSQM prior to 4.1 has a centrally distributed Java client that can get installed via access to a specific site location, okay? So with this feature, what we've done is you can basically get access to the SLA monitor type applications, and you can get access through a web browser. So this will basically allow the monitoring views of SLAs and service performance to be very easily accessed throughout a provider's organization. So without having to go through any installation on the local machine, they get access to the full view of the actual configured SLAs, so they can monitor them. So within a near real-time environment, they can see exactly how their services are performing, how their SLAs are performing for each of the different customers. So within the SLA monitoring web view, basically users can tailor which customer's SLAs they're interested in. This is all saved on a user-by-user basis. So when a user logs in, they can focus in on the customers and the services that they're interested in only. So you can start viewing everything. You can view a subset of everything that's been monitored within the system. Okay? So it also allows access to the actual access to the configuration of your SLAs. So within SLA management, or within the product, you've got what's known as the SLA management capability, and that has its own lifecycle management of SLAs. So within the web view, you get visibility to which customers have which SLAs provisioned, what versions they're on, and exactly the reasons why they're on each of the different versions of SLAs. So it allows your customer-facing staff to get the kind of the salient pieces of information related to each of the different services and SLA offerings, and it's packaged in a very kind of easily, very user-based UI to help users get access to the information very quickly. So you don't need to know a lot about the different complex services that are being used. The information is summarized within this web view. Moving on to slide 19, just summarizes some of the items that I discussed. So talking to a lot of your large service providers, a lot of the IT policy doesn't allow the installation of clients on local machines, so obviously this web-based interface removes that need. Yeah, obviously your more detailed users can still go and do the full client installation. Okay, alternatively, people can be driven through the actual SLA web view on its own. So the as the last two bullet points touch on here, the actual access to the party management information, which is the different customers' organization hierarchy, who are the key players within the companies. This is easily presented within this read-only view. Okay, so it provides a good way of summarizing the actual customers' information and the key stakeholders within the customers. So slide 20 touches on just a little bit of a workflow to give you an idea of what's involved in using the SLA web view. So the first screenshot here focuses in on looking at a BlackBerry SLA, which is the one we created a little while ago for FedEx. So what the user is doing here is they're going through what's called the Discover SLA function. This Discover SLA function allows each user to basically select which SLAs are of interest to them. So they can discover which SLAs they want to monitor within the SLA web view. That's retained then for each individual user. So when they log in after they've done their discovering of SLAs, they can basically, their view will contain the pre-selection of these SLAs every time they log in. Easily changeable then on any occasion. Okay. So as you see here, you discover which SLAs you want to monitor. Then you can just focus in on those subset of SLAs and see the actual near real-time performance of those SLAs, whether they're internal SLAs, external customer SLAs, or as Anthony referred to in the introduction, your third-party SLAs, which focus on, for example, content providers. So if you see a violation on any specific SLA, you can then drill into that violation to identify exactly which clauses within your SLAs have caused the degradation, and you can identify also the actual historical performance. So you can see a specific clause within your SLA has gone into violation at this particular moment in time, and then you can run analytics to see the historical performance of that clause over time also. So users at a very high level can get access to the actual performance of the SLAs very quickly within this web-based interface. Moving on to slide 21, we basically just give an example of getting access to the type of configuration information that you can within the SLA web view that is very much focusing on the party management application. So the party management application, essentially within the TIC client where you can do the configuration of the parties and the SLAs, you basically get visibility of the hierarchy that's been designed and configured within the system. So here we see an example of Wireless Core Group. They have a number of different departments: network management, service management, account management. And then under account management, under customers, they have one customer created for FedEx. Okay. So what this allows you to do is the party management application allows you visibility to the configured hierarchy within the provider and also the configured hierarchy for any of the provider's customers. So you can focus in on the specifics of the actual customer, as we see here. You can see the contact information for them, so who are the key players within that customer, who should be contacted if there's a violation on a specific service offering, who should be contacted periodically when you're talking about your contract renewals and contract monitoring capabilities, and then the associated SLAs, as we see here. Associated SLAs allows you to basically focus in on what are all the different SLAs that we currently have with this customer. And then from here, you can see specifically the details of those SLAs. So moving on to slide 22, we see visibility of the actual SLA management application. The SLA management application will, in this case, we're looking at the BlackBerry SLA for FedEx. You can focus in on the details, so the history of who created the SLA, the life cycle status, okay, who's the customer, who's the supplier, so network operations in this case, as we see in the middle of the right-hand panel of the view, are responsible for delivering this service to FedEx. Then through all the different tabs, you can see the actual SLA clause definitions, what action should take place when there is a violation on any aspect of this BlackBerry service of FedEx. And then obviously key to any SLA management application is the scheduling. So for each of your different configured time periods, how should your SLA clauses be evaluated, and then which actions should be initiated for each of your different scheduling periods. That brings us to the end of the SLA web view feature. And moving on to the next feature, which is the enhanced root cause analysis function. So the enhanced root cause analysis function, basically just to recap on what was there previous to this feature. Within the product, you have already pre 4.1, you basically have quite extensive capabilities around the area of drill, zone, and root cause analysis. So what we've done with this feature is we have basically automated a lot of the steps that a user will use when they're basically diagnosing and performing RCA-type functions. So what we've done is we've taken it a step further to basically put in an analytical layer that is basically can be driven by configurable ranking algorithms that allow a user, when they're looking at an SLA and they're looking at a specific clause on a service monitoring view or within a customer SLA view, they can basically run this diagnose function, and the system will basically go and run down through all of the complex service model and data model underneath each of the clauses, and it will basically run through all of the different possibilities that may have caused the actual degradation of this SLA clause, okay? And then it will bring back the results window, will basically give you, as we see here, the top 10 most likely paths or candidates for degradation. So we see on the screenshot on the right-hand side of the screen on slide 24, you see you've got ranking tabs 1 to 10, and we're currently on 1. So this drill down path here was ranked by the analytical layer to be the most likely cause of the degradation of the accessibility for the specific customer on the service offering. Yeah. So what this does essentially is this reduces the actual time for finding problems and identifying problems quite dramatically. So within an operational environment within a service provider, they can basically, by using this type of capability, they can let the system do the work of trying to diagnose and find out exactly what is causing a problem. If there's any more than one cause of the problem, okay, then it will bring you back the multiple candidates that may have been contributing to the degradation of your problem. Okay. So moving on to slide 25. Slide 25 shows using this diagnose function or using this enhanced RCA function within the SLA monitor application. So here, for example, we see that we're looking at accessibility of the nation for a specific customer, for customer one. So here we see we're looking at the accessibility of a bearer service across the whole network for a specific customer. When we go and run the diagnose function, because we can currently see that the individual, we can see that the value is 80.61%, it's gone into violation at the moment. By running this diagnose function, basically the diagnose function will bring back the top 10 likely contributors to this problem. Okay? And it brings them back in a fully exploded mode. So the user can see right down at the end exactly what aspect of the system is being causing this customer problem. And here we see it's the accessibility of a specific area within the network that has degraded, and that's the reason why your overall national service for customer one has degraded to 80.61%. Okay? So the example of the data model here is quite straightforward, but basically whatever the data model is, this analytical function will basically run over it. So it's a core part of the product. Moving on to slide 27. Okay. So within the enhanced RCA function, there's also another feature which we introduced, again, based off of our numerous engagements with large service providers to optimize the different views to help your operational users get the most effective use out of the monitoring capabilities of the product. So what we've done is we've introduced these state radio checkboxes, and what you can do is you can basically or uncheck these boxes to include or exclude specific states. Okay? You're an operational user that is only interested in violations on a particular customer SLA or violations on a specific service that you're monitoring, then basically if you just select the violation, the red box, if you put that check, it will only filter, it will filter out everything else and focus in on the state that you selected. Okay? So here we see an example. If you put it slide 27 into animation mode and flick through it, you'll see basically by checking the violation box, we reduce the subset within the window to just basically two clauses that are causing problems specific customer SLA. all of this SLA state selection can be done on an ad hoc case-by-case basis within the monitoring environment. Alternatively, each user has the option to go and define all of this within their preferences. So within the preferences view, they can focus in on which type of clauses they're interested in. So as you see here within the monitoring preferences on slide 27, you can select, for example, if you're only interested in clauses that are gone into a violation state, if you set that on your preferences, then automatically across all your monitoring views, they'll all focus in on violations only, for example. Okay. You also then have the ability, we have extended the default drill down options as well. As you see within the preferences view, midway down through it, you see a drill down option. So here you can basically control the number of levels you'll automatically drill down to. Okay. So prior to 4.1, by default, you would drill down to the next level within your data model. So within the preferences here, you can now basically configure how much you drill down. So you can drill right down through a deep data model by default on one double click, so one drill down. And then further down in the preferences view towards the bottom of that panel, you can see that you have basically, on a combined model, what's the default action? So a combined model is basically a model made up of a number of different constituent KQIs. And here we see the default action is to drill down. And then for a simple model action, here you can set the default to basically go and launch a report, for example. So the preferences have been expanded quite a bit to take in this RCA function. So then moving towards the next feature, which is the adaptive thresholding feature. The adaptive thresholding feature, as I mentioned in the introduction, is basically within the monitoring view, you can now basically set the thresholding for a specific clause to be what we call adaptive. So what that will do is you can basically define a number of pieces of key criteria that will drive how the actual threshold should be recalculated. So for example, if you have an SLA that's being reevaluated every 15 minutes, for one of the clauses in it, if you set it to be adaptive, you can then say, for example, that this threshold should be based on the last 3 months of data at this specific time of the day. So it'll focus in on then, and it can calculate, for example, the weighted average of a figure of this threshold for a specific point in time. So what it will do, and there's numerous different options within this adaptive thresholding feature, but essentially what the user can do is they can tailor the monitoring of these clauses and the monitoring of services to be basically automatically adapted as the actual, as the data comes into the system, okay? So on the second point here, you see that the amount of time and the amount of data you take into account with your adaptive threshold is configured within the user interface, okay? So what this means is that your service model are basically the thresholds are automated as you go, so that once adaptive is adaptive box is ticked for each of your different clauses, the system will automatically tune itself to the typical performance of a service. So slide 30 gives an example of this. So slide 30, here we see that, again, without getting into too much detail, we see an example of the SLA management application. And by launching, again, we're focusing in on the BlackBerry SLA that we created earlier on. And we're focusing in on BlackBerry SLA for a FedEx customer. So if we edit the clauses for that SLA, so here we see we've got a number of different clauses on the left-hand side of the wizard screen. Again, if you put it into build mode. So here we see that the first clause that we're selecting, okay, you can set it to be static or adaptive. If you set it to be static, it will just basically evaluate the clause against the defined static value. And that static value will be the value that you put in on definition. Adaptive, again, if you put it into build mode, you move on to the next portion of the slide on slide 30, you'll see that if you select adaptive for a clause, then the bottom part of the bottom right hand side of your screen, you can basically put in a number of different options to tailor your adaptive threshold. So here, for example, the temporal window, we're going to take in up to 1 month's data, okay, on a sliding window, and we're going to calculate the average based off of that data that we'll take in. the upper and lower bound. What that allows you to do is, statistically, that will basically allow you to remove any spikes, either up or down, from your adaptive threshold calculation. Reason for this, if you include upper and lower bounds, you can basically exclude any one-off anomalies when you're doing your data calculation. Okay, and just aware of time, moving on to the next one, is the multidimensional key quality indicator. So TNSQM itself has two main components. It has the SQM engine. This SQM engine is the engine that basically takes data from each of your selected data sources and produces your key quality indicators. These key quality indicators can basically be calculated on a number of different dimensions. So what we're doing within the 4.1 release is we're extending the number of dimensions that can be supported by default up to 4 for one model. And then what we're doing is we are introducing a number of different resource types, which are basically the different types of dimensions you calculate your metrics on. So we are introducing what we call a hierarchical resource type and a composite resource type. So an example of a hierarchical resource type is essentially where you would want to calculate a measure, for example, how successful are people able to make mobile originated voice calls, and you want to calculate that piece of information. As you see here, midway down through the slide, you see you can calculate, if we had a resource type called location, you can produce your metrics on a resource type location, and if this is a hierarchical based model, you can roll up and aggregate your data over a number of different levels. For example, here, it's area, market, region, nation. So these roll-up levels are essentially what we refer to as these hierarchical roll-up levels, okay? Then the concept of composite resources, what that allows you to do is that allows you to basically create a metric and create a metric, for example, the mobile-originated voice calls, okay? And you may want to calculate that metric. You may want to calculate it for an enterprise customer in a specific location using a specific handset type. Okay, so there what we'd have is basically we'd have three different dimensions. So the coming together of that three different dimensions in the data model is what we refer to as a composite resource type. So at a very high level, essentially this feature, what it's doing is it's enhancing the modeling capabilities of your SQM engine quite dramatically. So it makes your the amount of models that can be produced on the multiple different dimensions, it increases the scalability of your SQM engine, and it basically optimizes the performance. So the production of your data cube is very efficient from a monitoring perspective, and also then from a reporting perspective, how the data is laid out within your star-based schema means reporting is very, very effective on large volumes of multidimensional data. So moving on to slide 33, gives examples of the different types of resources that can be created. And what these are essentially doing is enhancing the current multidimensional capabilities. Okay? So putting slide 33 into build mode, you see examples of a composite resource type, hierarchical resource type, which has the different roll-up levels. Okay? So then as you create your different resource types, for example, if you're looking at a hierarchical resource type, you can basically navigate down through the hierarchy to identify exactly which resources are within the hierarchy. Okay? Moving on to slide 34, it's just another example of creating a resource at a specific level within a hierarchical model. Okay, so here, for example, you see if you put it into build mode that you go and create a metric, and that metric will be produced on this hierarchical dimensions. So typically, a service provider, when they go and so you can avail of the multidimensional capability. Alternatively, you can go for more flat models which don't utilize the MD capability. But typically, providers will come to IBM to, when they buy a service solution, the modeling will already encompass a lot of this capability for them. So they just basically leverage the metrics and the dimensions that have been built into the system, as we saw from the earlier visual service model feature. Okay. The last feature then within the set is the event forwarding to Omnibus. Okay. So event forwarding to Omnibus, we have done in a number of customer implementations already. What this feature is doing is basically drawing on the different implementations we've done and productizing it now that TNSQM is obviously a part of the Tivoli NextCool product set, okay, so of which Omnibus is one of the key members. So what this will allow you to do is on the actions for SLA violations, we can basically, you can trigger those actions to be sent directly to Omnibus, okay? And once those actions, so if there's a violation on a specific customer SLA, you can basically do a number of different actions. One of those actions is to trigger a trap, and that SNMP trap can be triggered to basically go out through the NextCool Omnibus interface and be forwarded right into your Omnibus webtop client. Okay? So what this feature does is it productizes this event forwarding capability within TNSQM, but also delivers the component that you need on the Omnibus side to basically pull this event data into Omnibus. Okay. And that brings me to an end, a little bit over time. So I'd like to take any questions. If there are any questions?
And the question and answer session will be conducted electronically. If you'd like to ask a question, you may do so by pressing the star key followed by the digit 1 on your touchtone telephone. If you're using a speakerphone, please ensure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Once again, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1 at this time. We'll pause for just a moment. And we'll hear from Mike Foley from IBM.
Hey, it's Mike Foley here. Two questions. First, the easy one. Is there, with the trap integration to Omnibus, is there a right-click capability to bring up reports from those traps as well? Threshold trap.
A right-click capability from where? Sorry, from Omnibus?
Yeah, right-click on the event and bring up a Valent report, Service Assure report.
Yeah, no, it's primarily, this first phase is primarily driven around just forwarding of the event and acknowledging the event within Omnibus. So we, as a part of our kind of wider Tivoli NextCool integration strategy, we are definitely looking at those capabilities for sure.
Okay.
Not alone with Omnibus, but also with some of the other products within the Tivoli NextCool suite. But this feature doesn't enable that at the moment. So.
All right, fair enough. The second and harder question, the visual service modeling capability of TNSQM seems
yeah.
to be identical to TBSM, so help me with positioning here.
Okay, so within TBSM, the TBSM, the look and feel, I can see where you're coming from for sure, in that it's a visual construction of the actual service model. Within TBSM, your service model will be based off of incoming events, and you define rules to create your service model, okay? So, as Anthony said at the outset, the plan for the wider SQMS solution is to basically leverage TNSQM, which is what we're focusing in on here, but also TBSM. So, if you refer back to, okay, let me just jump back to the deck here. Yeah. If you refer back to slide 4, you have it in front of you, Mike?
Yep, I do.
So, yeah, so what at the top level dashboards, right, without getting into the detail too much, but essentially the real-time service monitoring, status monitoring here is referring to TBSM, okay? So the strategic vision is basically to be using TBSM, TNSQM, which is the SLA and service performance, and also early next year, the CEM component. So basically what we will be doing is we will be moving towards creating one service model ultimately. So at the moment, the first phase of integration between TNSQM and TBSM is to allow model integration, so service model integration. So anything that's created within TNSQM can automatically be ported into TBSM as a part of this SQMS reference architecture. Okay.
I think, Dave, if I can just come in there, Mike, this is Anthony Behan here again. There was a Tivoli talk conducted earlier in the month, I think it was the 11th of October, on the SQMS bundle across the three, which should give you some additional assistance in terms of relative positioning of TBSM versus TNSQM. So I just wanted to point that out.
Okay, thank you. I'll have to look at that.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's a good question, Mike, for sure, but it's very much... I think everybody, and this is what Anthony is referring to, everybody involved in this SQMS kind of solution and the longer term vision are very much aware of that. So what we're doing with bringing the products together into this SQMS solution is basically trying to leverage the best of what TBSM does. In other words, the kind of availability monitoring side of things, okay? Leveraging the best of what TNSQM does around the whole kind of service performance, SLA monitoring capability, okay? So within the actual visual construction, obviously, ultimately, we want to go towards one common modeling component, for sure.
Sure. And so, did you say that the TNSQM ability to export to TBSM exists now, or is that a future?
No, that's basically one of the candidates for our next release. So this is 4.1, which is the release pending in the next kind of the end of Q4, okay? So then the 4.2, so the release beyond that, so one of the first phases of the TBSM TNSQM integration is this model importation. Okay.
Okay.
So and this is what Anthony is referring to, this other Tivoli talk focuses in on the kind of the different integration points to bring together the best of TBSM, TNSQM, and ultimately the CEM component as well. And there's a vision around what integration is going to happen at which point, and that's really probably what you would need when it comes to positioning. You need to see how things are going to evolve and why they're evolving in that way.
So. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's a little bit difficult to explain to a customer, but I think the story's there, definitely.
Yeah, no, I mean, there's been lots of time put into leveraging the best of the different product sets, but obviously it'll take time to get there. There's no doubt about that. So at the moment, all of these key integration steps and phases have been identified, and I think you should get all of that in that other Tivoli talk which Anthony refers to.
Great, no worries. Thank you.
Okay.
Next, we'll hear from Naman Sheth with Windward Consulting Group.
Yeah, one of the questions I had was how do we integrate this from NetCool or the fault management front end as a right-click capability to go to SQM, but that's already answered. My second question is, now what I see is TNSQM is driven using the service quality data and all that stuff, but at a layer below it, everything is tied together, like the service configuration data, service quality data, as well as the fault data coming in. So if it is tied at a layer below, why is it not tied at the layer above, like with TBSM directly, rather than keeping it separate from starting?
Yeah, I think it's basically where we're coming from is obviously there's two separate products supporting this SQMS solution, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So the stuff on the right of the screen, so the SLA and Service Performance Management and CEM will be housed essentially under the TNSQM product, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The real-time status monitoring will be delivered via TBSM, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So the components under the two right-hand side, because they're leveraging off the one product, then you're looking at the same service quality database, the same configuration database, and so on, okay?
Mm-hmm.
On the left-hand side of the screen, obviously, that is, we are leveraging components from TBSM, and they will be leveraging components from us. So this architecture here is very much encompassing, okay, what we have now as separate products, but also the vision of where we want to go to, okay?
Okay.
So again, you do have, and this comes back to the question Mike raised around the differences between TBSM and TNSQM from a modeling capability and stuff. So here there is this architecture slide basically encompasses the vision of where we want to go with the integration. So all of this integration below your dashboarding layer, okay,
mm-hmm.
This is there to a certain degree, but this is what we want to build on to ultimately get to a tighter integration. So that tighter integration won't be there in in this 4.1 release.
Okay, cool. Thank you.
And with no further questions, I'd like to turn it back to our presenters for any additional or closing remarks.
Anthony, and I just want to point out that, as I mentioned, there was a Tivoli talk earlier on this month on the SQMS bundle, which incorporates both the TBSM functionality and the TNSQM functionality, including customer experience management and how they're positioned relative to one another. And I would encourage as many of you as possible to go and look at that, if just for clarification on the positioning there. It is a difficult area, but I think it's well handled in that call. I'd like to also point out that we have an upcoming call on the 29th of January. Is it the 30th of January? Perhaps Todd can confirm me. In the last couple of days of January, on customer experience management specifically, that functionality will be released at the back end of the first quarter 2008. So Todd, unless there's anything else?
That's all I have, guys, if you're happy. I appreciate everyone joining us today, and thank you.
Does conclude today's teleconference. We'd like to thank you for your participation today and hope you have a wonderful day.
Thanks, guys. Okay.